Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you've had a fantastic Tuesday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. And if you're one of those people that are like, Phil, I like the long shows, today is one of those days that you need to hit the like button. Otherwise, I think Editor James is going to throat punch me. But with that said, let's just jump into this thing. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is this news and outrage around a Twitch streamer by the name of Alinity. And Alinity has been in the news before. There was that copyright situation a long time ago. She is no stranger to outrage. But this time, the outrage wasn't about what she wanted to do to someone's channel, what she wanted to do to another human, but rather a pet. And specifically, it's about this moment in a live stream.
Guy. Milo!
Alright, so some people have described it as a throw, some saying it was kind of a lift and drop. But main point, a lot of people were angry. We ended up seeing PETA tweet at Twitch support, adding, take a stand for cats and please remove Alinity from Twitch immediately. She is using the platform to post animal abuse, which sends a dangerous message to anyone watching her videos. Cats are not props to abuse for more views. And that single video just on Twitter had over 7 million views. That tweet got over 102,000 likes. People also started looking through Alinity's streaming archive, and ultimately finding a clip where it appears that she's letting her cat drink a small amount of vodka from her lips. And in response to the backlash, we saw Alinity tweet, hey everyone, I understand the concern, and I am sorry for my lapses in judgment. I shouldn't have gotten frustrated with Milo, but I dropped him on the floor behind my chair. I'm not that strong. The vodka thing was well over a year ago, but it was also a stupid thing to do. I also understand the desire to report me to pet authorities and encourage anyone to do so if they feel pets are being mistreated by anyone anywhere. My animals are well loved and live in a warm and caring home, and I will comply with any authority that seeks to validate this. Then posting this video, then the following day tweeting out, it be like with a gif of someone punching a clown. Then the following day, she tweeted, please stop coming to my house and asking my neighbors where I am. It's actually really scary. Also, while all of this is happening, there have been a lot of people complaining that Alinity has not been suspended or banned from Twitch. And people started sharing an alleged screenshot where it appears that she says, don't worry guys, I'm fine. I spoke to someone at Twitch today and I'm not getting banned. But people who have been harassing me might be. And possibly in reference to that, or maybe there were some other screenshots she appeared to respond, tweeting, hate to interrupt a good witch hunt in full swing, but if you're using dubious screenshots that are old or fake or whatever else, you're pretty mean-spirited. But I guess that's the point. Also, regarding this situation, it was reported that the Saskatoon Canada chapter of the SPCA has launched an investigation into her. Seemingly in regards to that, Alinity tweeted, called the Saskatoon SPCA to come check these guys in the home out to clear up the complaints. They'll be here in a couple days. And then adding, the better words might be deal with rather than clear up, but I want to address the complaints that were filed with them ASAP. But ultimately, that's where we are with the situation right now. It's going to be interesting to see what happens on Twitch's side, what happens with the SPCA. But yeah, regarding this story, I'd love to know your thoughts in those comments down below. And then let's talk about the big news coming out of Britain. Which, if you haven't heard, former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson has been elected to succeed Theresa May as Prime Minister. Now, for those unfamiliar with the political system there, this was not a national election. Theresa May announced that she would be stepping down in May, and when a Prime Minister resigns, their party, in this case the Conservative Party, is tasked with electing a new leader. And in this particular election, the party overwhelmingly voted for Johnson. And according to local reports, Johnson received 92,153 votes, which ended up almost being twice as many as his opponent, current Foreign Minister Jeremy Hunt, who received 46,656 votes. And so as far as what happens next, Johnson is set to meet with the Queen tomorrow, who will ask him to form a government with the other parties in Parliament. Once he does that, then he will officially be Prime Minister. And although the Conservative Party's working majority is small, Johnson is still expected to successfully form a government and take over as leader. But all of that is also the easy part. Johnson also has to now take over as leader in charge of Brexit. Right, and after 3 years of failed negotiations that eventually led to May's resignation, Johnson now has just 3 months. Right, we're talking until October 31st to get this deal through. Which, on that note, Johnson addressed this during his speech saying,
and I think that we know that we can do it, and that the people of this country are trusting in us to do it, and we know that we will do it. And we know the mantra of the campaign that has just gone by. In case you've forgotten it, it is deliver Brexit, unite the country, and defeat Jeremy Corbyn. And that is what we're going to do. We are going to energize the country. We're going to get Brexit done on October the 31st. We're going to take advantage of all the opportunities that it will bring in a new spirit of can-do. And we are once again going to believe in ourselves.
Johnson also pointing out that the task is daunting, but argued that he is up for it. And based on the votes, it appears that the Conservative Party thinks he is the best person for the job. Right, which isn't the most shocking thing, as you might remember. Johnson was actually one of the leading voices for the pro-Brexit campaign back in 2016. He's been considered by some as the unofficial leader of the movement. But, of course, there are still a ton of obstacles he has to overcome. Right, even though Parliament has a new Prime Minister, the same old divisions are still there. And as far as the hurdles Johnson faces here, I mean, when it comes to Brexit, there are huge divisions not only in Parliament, but among the Conservative Party itself. Meaning Johnson not only has to unify his party, but he also has to unify a parliament that voted down May's Brexit plan 3 separate times this year. And you have a parliament that is still divided over this Brexit deal, right? May's original plan, the one that was rejected 3 times by parliament, is still the only one that the EU leaders are offering. That said, you have Johnson saying he will renegotiate May's deal, but you have the EU saying that they will not. And according to reports, some of Johnson's plans to get more members of parliament on board have already been rejected by the EU. Most significantly is what's known as the Irish backstop, which would keep the seamless border between Ireland and Northern Ireland without changing the current flow of goods and services that have few restrictions. However, the Irish backstop would still require the UK to still have a close relationship with the EU, thus making the provision controversial with MPs who don't want such a deep relationship with the EU. And in fact, the opposition to the version of the backstop in May's deal was one of the main reasons it was voted down 3 times. But the backstop is reportedly one of the EU's biggest sticking points, and EU leaders have insisted that a Brexit deal needs to have it. Also, an incredibly notable point here, Johnson has promised that no matter what, the UK will be leaving the EU on October 31st, something that has been referred to as a no-deal Brexit. And regarding that, a no-deal Brexit is largely unpopular, even among some of the staunch Brexit supporters. And the reason for that is because it's believed that not only would this be incredibly disruptive to the UK's economy, but also the global economy. In fact, even in these divisive times, Parliament has been relatively unified on this, even voting for non-binding motions against a no-deal Brexit. Also, in addition to the more technical aspects of the deal, there are also some questions around Johnson himself and his ability to bring together an already divisive Parliament. And that's because while the Conservative Party seems to overwhelmingly believe that Johnson is their best chance, he is also a highly polarizing political figure. Johnson has been described as charismatic and blunt, also known for his controversial views and statements. He's a populist who supports controlling immigration and more isolationist policy. He's often in the public eye, and his opponents have criticized him for making factually incorrect statements and just outright lying, especially concerning Brexit. He's also been criticized for making contentious statements in the past. For example, when he was appointed as foreign minister in 2016, there was a letter that he wrote in 2002 that circulated where he used racist terms to describe people in Africa. More recently, specifically last year, he wrote a column in the Telegraph where he wrote that while he did not support banning burqas, he did think that they were ridiculous because they make women look like letterboxes and bank robbers. But with all that said, as of right now, it seems that many leaders in both the UK and outside are at least hesitantly optimistic about his leadership. Nigel Farage, the leader of the Brexit Party, tweeted, "I wish Boris Johnson well as Prime Minister with his do-or-die pledge to deliver Brexit on October 31st. Does he have the courage to deliver?" Michel Barnier, the chief EU negotiator for Brexit, tweeted, "We look forward to working constructively with PM Boris Johnson," adding, "We are ready also to rework the agreed declaration on a new partnership in line with UKO guidelines." We saw President Trump congratulate Boris Johnson. But you also had people that were less pleased. For example, Nicola Sturgeon, Scotland's first minister, tweeted, "Congratulations. Despite our many differences, I will do all I can to develop a way of working with him that respects and protects Scotland's views and interests. However, it would be hypocritical not to be frank about the profound concerns I have at the prospect of his premiership. I am certain that the vast majority of people of Scotland would not have chosen to hand the keys of number 10 to someone with his views and track record." Andy MacDonald, an MP in the Labour Party, also tweeted, "Boris Johnson is dangerous, reckless, incompetent, and can't be trusted. Never in my lifetime has there been a more difficult time in British politics. We now have a prime minister who, amongst all the people in Parliament, is singularly the most unfit individual for the job." And we also saw Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn tell the BBC that his party is already planning a vote of no confidence to oust Johnson from office. But ultimately, that is where we are with the story now. It's going to be interesting to see what happens from now till October 31st. And of course, I want to know everyone's opinion here, but if you live in Britain, you live in the EU, anywhere affected, I would really love to know your thoughts, what you're excited for, what you're extremely concerned about, anything, all in those comments down below. And then let's talk about a big update to a story that just blew up almost about 2 years ago. And the story at hand is the story of Andy Signore, Defy Media, and a number of female accusers. And Andy, if you don't know, is the creator of Screen Junkies and Honest Trailers. And regarding the female accusers, there's kind of 3 different fronts here, but it's all the same story. There were the accusations and screenshots about his misconduct with fans of his properties. There were accusations of inappropriate behavior in the workplace. And then most notably, there was a woman that came forward with accusations of sexual assault. Regarding the misconduct of fans, you had female accusers coming out with screenshots showing correspondence with Andy. And some of what was featured here was Andy, who was married at the time, flirting with fans. And there were a number of them out there, but kind of the 2 that stood out, you had one alleged email correspondence where they're talking about San Diego Comic-Con. Here it appears that Andy says, "You should totally try and come out for Comic-Con. It's a blast. How expensive is it? Maybe I can help, LOL. Would you secretly cosplay for me?" Then regarding inappropriate behavior in the workplace or in a work setting, initially you had the likes of Emma Bowers, who was posted, "I was sexually harassed by Andy Signore, the creator of Screen Junkies. I was quote unquote interning, aka working for copy credit on some viral videos for him, and he came across some pinup photos I had done. He messaged me to say how hot I was and tried to play it off as silly, LOL, jacking it to you in your undies. And when I tried to brush it off, he offered me to come over so he could do it in person. I will never forget his exact words. You can read a book for all I care." You also had the likes of people like Roxy Stryer speaking on this. Eventually, she actually wasn't one of the first people to speak out. But we did find a relatively small podcast she was on at the end of 2018 where she spoke on it.
See if anything happened also inside of it. Did anything ever happen?
I definitely didn't not happen.
Oh, wow.
But there were things that happened that through the years that I spoke about and was like really, you know, I didn't speak about publicly, but
uncomfortable. That's it. More.
More than uncomfortable. Okay. Really inappropriate.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a super inappropriate guy.
Okay.
And you know, I have very, very not nice things to say about him.
Right, so there are these two things, but then the big driver of this story, of course, were the sexual assault allegations. And that involved one main accuser by the name of April Dawn. And in April's original post, which has now been deleted, although her other tweets with her accusations remain up, she wrote, "Over the past 2 months, I have been talking with Screen Junkies HR department after Andy Signore tried to sexually assault me on multiple occasions. I did what I believed to be the right thing and trusted the company to do something, considering two other women also came forward with me." She says, "The HR company continued to not take me seriously and only had Andy's interests in mind," adding, "He threatened my boyfriend's job security, saying he would fire him if I told anyone. He took out sex toys and tried to force them in me, took pictures of me without my permission, and promised a position at Screen Junkies for sexual favors." And adding, "I hope this encourages more women to come forward because I believe you." Then providing a more detailed summary, saying Andy used Screen Junkies to prey on multiple women, including myself. The first time, he used Chicago Comic Con by saying they were having a Screen Junkies party and I was invited. The party ended up being him alone in his hotel room trying to force himself on me. Then adding, "I was later invited by Screen Junkies to come out to LA to be on the fan cam, and they put me up in a hotel. Andy stopped by my hotel uninvited and took a dildo out of his bag and tried to use it on me." Then adding, "He also took pictures of me without my permission and went through my phone while I was in the bathroom. Many have asked why I haven't come forward. I was in a strange city, I'm originally from Wisconsin, and he threatened to kick me out of the hotel if I told anyone." Then going on to say she recently heard a story from another victim, saying she went to HR with other women, they told me we didn't really have a case. And online, you had other people corroborating her story about her going to HR, people criticizing and bashing the company, saying that they were protecting Andy. And following April's post there, that's where we got a lot of these accusers coming out sharing their conversations with Andy. And ultimately, after all of this happened, Andy was fired by Defy Media. And after this, he ended up actually suing Defy, claiming that he was wrongfully fired in August of 2018. And that lawsuit ended up actually being settled under a month ago. And ultimately, all of this brings us to yesterday when Andy made a video addressing the allegations made against him. As far as why he had not previously issued a statement, he said he could not legally discuss the matter. And in general, this video is primarily focused on the sexual assault allegations, although he does acknowledge, admit, and apologize for his conduct with fans.
"The truth is, I did awkwardly flirt with and make inappropriate comments to some of my fans, despite being married. In doing this, I betrayed so many people that I love and respect. I put them into horribly awkward and uncomfortable positions, and I'm truly sorry for this behavior."
Also regarding the Emma Bowers accusations, he said that Emma was not an intern. He worked with her before Screen Junkies. He says their many emails prove that she was a costume designer. He saw her as a friend, a creative partner, specifically on a zero-budget internet series. And then regarding the photo and comments, he says,
"I was both surprised and flattered one evening when she opted to share with me a link to her own nude pinup photos. I don't recall saying exactly what she accused me of, but I am confident that I responded with compliments. I was married, so we both regretted the shift in tone, and we mutually apologized."
Also, separately from the video regarding workplace behavior, Andy tweeted, "I've always been a fan of Roxy Stryer and never harassed her. I know I didn't give her shows enough attention, so I'm sorry, Roxy, for that and any other misunderstanding, but I always tried my best to support you. You have my number if you want to sort anything out. Happy to listen." And then notably in the video regarding the assault allegations, he says,
"These egregious claims labeling me a sexual predator, workplace harasser, and a rapist are categorically untrue. And I do not want my family hounded forever by such malicious slander."
He goes on to say that he had a consensual relationship with April. He then goes on to include messages between the two of them during the duration of what he calls an affair. And here he starts with messages from when they first met at Comic-Con in 2015. And some of these do appear to show them flirting. And he says that the claim that he invited her to a party and it was just him in a hotel room is just a lie. Providing a text log where it appears that he says, "Wanna just hang out in my room, watch a movie or something?" She responds, "Sure, that works." She ends up saying, "Am I just bringing my sparkling personality?" He responds, "Whatever you want, I'm not sure what we're gonna do. Cute nerdy girl coming up to my hotel room, haha, I have never done that." And he ultimately says that nothing happens during this meeting. The next day, based on the text log, they're still chatting, friendly. It appears that they still want to try and meet up, although they never do. He says, "Fun hanging out." She says, "I concur, you too." He then says later on, he texts her if she had any regrets about not making a move.
"First, she admits to having a lot of fun. And later, I admit my regret for not making a move."
Although there is a little bit of a question mark based off of the text log that he provided. It appears that there is a jump in time from the 22nd to the 27th. He says, "Still no regrets. Your episode will air this Sunday." She says, "Slight regrets with more I think about it." She adds, "And that's exciting. I'll get to see myself stumble over my words and lose to Scorsese over Nolan." He then calls a new photo of her gorgeous. She says, "Thanks." But then Andy says that from here, things turn sexual. He then denies that he took photos of her without permission. And the way that he combats that is he posts allegedly naked photos of her that are blurred. I am obviously not going to include that in this video. He says here that he has blurred them in an effort to take the high road, but The counter to that is you're just not posting revenge porn, but then he still posts a text log to show that they were actually from her. He then showcases texts where he invites her to be on their fan cam. He says, so when do you want to visit? She says, are we doing the whole fan cam or nah? He says, whatever you want, do you want to? Or do you just want to come visit LA and be my mistress for a couple days, lol? And she responds, my work would be a lot more lenient with me going for that opportunity, since my boss is obsessed with the show than me just doing to Cali, lol. And he responds, then yeah, I'll get you on as fan cam. This ultimately leads to him saying, did you get approval from work? She says, yes. He says, so you're saying I'm going to be able to get naked with you in a room this week, lol? She says, yes. She says, okay, so I'm going to buy this ticket then. He says, good to go. He then showcases text logs of them talking about it leading up to the meeting. Some of this includes, how are you joining me? Oh, and I forgot condoms. I promise the last thing I'm trying to do is have your kids if you were concerned. I'm on the pill, but if you still want a condom, I don't know where to go. He ultimately says, what room number? She provides it. And the reason there that it appears to be incredibly notable is it appears to contradict her previous statement from 2017, where she says she was invited by Screen Junkies, but it appears that they were having the conversation and that they organized it. She claims that Andy stopped by my hotel room uninvited and took a dildo out of his bag and tried to use it on me. But based off of the previous text where they were organizing this meet, that doesn't seem to add up. As well as the text log from after they met, where he says, you are incredible, that was really nice. He says, I agree, wish you could have stayed longer. Come back for round two. It doesn't appear that he's able to meet up with her. He says, work fucked me. She says, I'm supposed to be the one fucking you. Still, after that, he says they met again, showing text logs of where it appears that he forgot the room number. She provides it again. And from here, Andy describes a situation where one of his former friends DMs her. She says, we're hanging out. He says, awesome. He's totally gonna try and hook up with you. Also adding, I expect updates tomorrow, especially if you make out. He then says,
weeks passed, and then she shared that her relationship with my friend had become more serious, and she didn't want to continue our affair. I expressed via emails that I wished them the best. We agreed to keep our relationship between us, and she began a new relationship with my friend.
He says at this time, she's still tweeting him publicly. But then he says, in January, April sends him this threatening email, saying, the things you sent me since the convention in Chicago has been so unacceptable, and it's horrible to think about. The only reason I went along with any of this was because I was so concerned for my safety after what you said to me back at the hotel. It was honestly at the point I was afraid to turn you down for anything and kept making excuses for you not to do anything to me. And adding, it honestly makes me sick to think you were able to spend Defy's money for personal benefit to try and get with me at the hotel in Hollywood, also forcing yourself on me there. The phone calls, texts, emails, gifts, mail, all needs to stop. I'm happily seeing someone else, and I'm truly afraid of you and the lanes you would go to get what you want. I'm done complying and making this all seem okay because it's not. If you try and contact me again, I'll take actions further. Andy says that he initially thought this was written by someone else. He ends up responding, I have no idea what you are talking about. Must be a massive miscommunication here, as I don't know what you were talking about below. Haven't even talked to you in ages, but no worries. I will happily respect your ask to never email again. Just wanted to hit you back so you were aware. Take care. And then later, Andy says that this happens.
April's need to keep our consensual affair secret took an even more outlandish turn when she and my former friend privately reported a laundry list of false accusations to my employer, including false charges that I'd been harassing them both for 2 years via emails, texts, and blocked phone numbers. In retrospect, I realize I should have taken her nonsensical threatening email more seriously.
At this point, Andy says that he was horrified, that he was worried that the fact that he was cheating on his wife was going to get out. He hires a lawyer. The lawyer demands to see evidence of the accusations,
including any harassing correspondence over the past 2 years, which there was none. I shared information about our affair to HR, including private correspondence between April and I. There was ample factual evidence of the consensual nature of our affair. My lawyer told me afterwards, the look on their faces said volumes. April's credibility was out the window. That's why nothing was done for 2 months. Despite what was said online, nothing was ever offered to substantiate April's allegations.
And then from there, you already know everything that happened online and with his job. Now, following this video from Andy coming out, there were a few things that happened. We had April post a tweet saying, moving forward, when I came forward a few years ago, I knew everything that was displayed in the video today could be made public. I decided to go forward regardless because I wanted to make sure no harm would come to any more women. I was ready then, and I'm ready now to take the hits, comments, or criticisms you can throw at me, because at the end of the day, I know my truth and what I did was right. I was a teenager and I made mistakes and I've had to live with them. I'm not giving any more of my time or energy to this. I'm moving on for my own mental health. Thanks to all those who continue to support me as I learn and grow. JTE Movie Things, aka April's boyfriend, tweeted, I saw Mr. Sociopath's video. I've lived and read everything you've seen and haven't seen for the past few years. I'm not giving another moment of my time or energy to him. We're moving forward. Believe and follow him if you want. I could care less. If you do, though, hide your undies. And then sharing a screenshot of the accusation made by Emma Bauer. Also retweeting Meredith Loftus. That was the young woman he was DMing, talking about the ticket, could have been a date. And then JTE tweeting, hitting that block button like. I also reached out to both of them them to see if they wanted to give a statement past these tweets. As of recording this video, they have not responded. Regarding Andy Signore, back when this was all happening in 2017, I reached out for a comment then. He ended up not responding until about 3 weeks later, saying he may want to reach out one day to tell his side of the story. And so when he uploaded the video, he also reached out. And so with that, I contacted him back, reached out for comment. And while researching for the update to this story, I also found more accusations that the misconduct that he had with fans was actually more than what was public, specifically at conventions. So I asked, is there any more fan misconduct, specifically at cons, inviting someone to a show, movie, or just your behavior with a fan who attended and a line was crossed that hasn't been publicly addressed yet? Which he responded, it's entirely possible. At the time, I had developed a warped idea in my mind that conflated fan support with romantic interest, saying that led to some poor choices. Adding, as has been documented, I crossed lines in that regard that I now very much regret. Adding, a lot has happened in 2 years with me personally and with the public at large with respect to better understanding and respecting these sorts of boundaries. Adding, while it has been devastating to be caught up in this movement as I have been, I am grateful for the opportunity to have become a better person. A fan should be able to interact with a content maker without that interaction becoming a dating game. I had blurred those boundaries. To anyone I have made uncomfortable in doing so, I cannot apologize enough. I was wrong. I am genuinely happy to have the opportunity to redraw those boundaries in my life. I hope I can earn back my fans' trust and forgiveness. But then also adding at the end, I did not make my video to dispute any of that. My priority is to clear my name of a wrongful sexual assault allegation that has cost me my reputation and my livelihood. But ultimately, that is where we are with this story now. It's going to be very interesting to see if we see anything else come out. And ultimately, I would love to know your thoughts around this whole chaotic mess. Because when you see people talking about this, it's usually on one of two fronts. Either the angle is about someone in a position of power hitting on, flirting with fans, accusations of being inappropriate, as well as sleeping with a fan. Right, and that's a conversation about power dynamics that Andy has admitted to, has apologized for. And then on the other front, the massive accusation of multiple sexual assaults that, based on the information at hand, unless it is being misrepresented, appears to be a lie. As of right now, seemingly April and JTE have given their final statements regarding this, which if these texts were fake or they were being misrepresented, that would be the time to say something. But with all of that said, that is where we're going to end today's show. I would love to know your thoughts on this final story as well as anything we talked about today. Yeah, let me know what you're thinking, and we're going to just have to kind of wait to see what happens from here. And that's where we're going to end today's show. And hey, if you like this video, you like diving into the news with me, take a second to just hit that like button. Also, if you're new here, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get more of these dives into the news. Also, if you're not 100% filled in, you're still hungry for some news, we put out an extra bonus news video on Rogue Rocket, as well as, hey, if you missed yesterday's show, you can click or tap right there to watch that. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.